Grand Rising, kings, queens, gods, and goddesses, thank you for showing up for another episode of That White Girl. I am her, she is me, Kimberly Michael Schneider, and I have yet another freaking phenomenal guest on today. His name is Coach Rob Lewis, affectionately known as Coach Rob, I hear. And he has done some pretty remarkable things in his life and traveled to some pretty remarkable places. And now him and his wife are doing some more remarkable things. Currently they are have released and have out a brand Free, which is Fighting Racism Equals Equality. And their core job, I guess, is to educate, and he can absolutely elaborate and fill us in on that. But based on what he's done and what I've read about him and me following him, I'm really excited to have him on. So Coach Rob, welcome. I appreciate you coming on and honoring me with your time. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great, Kiana. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So I touched a few things about you, and we'll just jump right in because I like to get to the meat of what the podcast is about. So I've read your bio. I've followed you. I've read your press releases. Talked extensively with your marketing rep, and Free, F-R-E-E, the acronym. Let's talk about that, of course, but what I want to know is kind of tell everybody how you got here to I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Okay. Growing up, you know, of course I'm Black, and then coming from a poor neighborhood of Black people, I was treated a lot by my own color, by white folks, whoever. I was always mistreated, but and just growing up and seeing that, I grew thick skin, and by me learning how to do, learning how to train people and stuff like that, with my skill set, it took me a long way, and it took me to different countries and stuff. So I've seen how people treat other people, especially in Germany. It's a lot of different cultures. I call them cultures, I only call them races. But a lot of different cultures over there, and so what they do is treat people different just based on where they're from or what their ancestors and stuff, not by how they how they live and how the people treat them. So I came up with a concept, Free, Fighting Racism Equals Equality. And when I tell people that, it's like they think it's a physical fight, but no, it's not a physical fight. It's a fight within ourselves to educate ourselves on many different topics. So if we educate ourselves on many different topics, I believe we can come one, we can come better with each other, because we are taught so many different things growing up, especially like you go to the South, probably not really even the South as well, it's all over, but I see it in the South because I live in the South. A lot of white people teach their kids hate Blacks, and a lot of Blacks people teach the kids to hate white. But you're just going by what your parents taught you, not what you really know. That's why when you grow up to an age, what you see is not right, you begin to question your parents, and you just begin to rebel a little bit. So I figured, I wanted to bring out a brand. I want to bring out a brand like Nike, something really, really nice. Because where I come from, if you're Black, you bring out stuff. People are not going to follow your own. People are not going to follow you. So you have to have something nice. So if they don't want to follow, they don't want to follow you because of your skin color, not based on what you got, because your thing just as good as everybody else. Plus, mine has a message. I'm not fighting against nothing. I'm fighting against trying to make myself better. It don't have nothing to do with nobody else. Everybody should fight, I think. Fight with on the inside of them to make themselves better, and I think if we fight and respect other cultures, because they live a certain way, we live a certain way, this person grew up that way, that person grew up that way. It don't make them bad, it just make them a little different than what you grew up and what you used to, but we don't need, I feel like we don't know how to respect each other on that level, so that's why, Free came about, like I said, I've been dealing with so many different coaches and stuff, and everybody's the same. I don't care how you look at it, however you want to look at it, but everybody's the same. You got poor Chinese people, you got poor blacks, poor whites, poor Puerto Ricans. It don't matter. The poor never deals with the top. The top never deal with the bottom. And my thing is, like, even if you have a, say, if you have a clan, if you have a KKK, and they poor, but they based, you know, they fight for the same thing. But this rich clan will never deal with the poor clan, even though y'all fight for the same thing. Y'all not gonna deal with you because y'all are two different people. Even though you're the same color, right, for the same thing, but you don't like him because he's rich. He don't like you because he's poor, and he's gonna put you with the blacks or the Spanish or the Puerto Ricans or whatever. So I done seen all of this. You know, I have been around a lot of different cultures. You know, so I wanted to just come out with a brand that people can feel and people can be honored about. Yeah, okay, I want to learn. You know, I want to learn what this culture is about. I want to learn more about politics. I want to learn more about society. I want to learn more about mathematics. It don't really have nothing to do with, this is not a black and white thing. This is a people thing.
Right.
People get twisted up, like, oh, you talking about fighting racists? No, I'm not gonna wear that. I'm not gonna buy that. I don't want to fight. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's got something to do with you trying to come from a C to an A in school. You trying to come from a D to a B or to an A in school, or you trying to up yourself to a whole different ball game because, you know, your parents don't know everything. Your parents just teach you what they think you should learn or what you should know growing up, and then you have to come and be that person who you really are, you know. And people don't do that. They just stay in that one spot, you know. It's like, we got a lot of athletes. We have a lot of athletes out there so terrified to stand up, especially the boxers. You know, the boxers, y'all by yourself, y'all stand up, y'all fight. It's not really fighting for, just fighting what's right, you know.
Right.
And being, you know, it's about being right. You know, fighting, standing up for what's right. What's right, you know, is just what's right. I'm sorry, that's it's just the way it is.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I love all of that. and of course I have a couple of questions now that you've,
that's me,
you know, so, and I didn't, and it's funny because I'm always enlightened when I talk to people, but it's funny because I that was not my first thought when I saw fighting racism. Like I didn't think of the physical fight. Actually, I knew exactly, you know, what you were implying and what you meant,
right,
by fighting against it. And I actually put up a post one time that said, you know, you fight with black people because you're afraid of them. I fight with them because I love them.
Right,
and
right.
And so now the irony in it all is that, you know, you're a soccer coach and a boxing coach,
right,
is that
right?
Is that, or have been, or I don't know if you still are, but
right. I'm not doing it right now.
So your background is, I don't want to say fighting, but physical, you know what I mean?
Right, it's physical.
But your physical is what, is that what took you to other countries where you realized that the injustice was not just here in America, and that what you actually went through?
No, actually, I was training in Vander Holyfield, and five-time world heavyweight champion of the world, Vander Holyfield. And I was training him one day, and some people came in from England, and filmed us training, and wanted to know, could I work on soccer players? Could I do something for the soccer players? I said, sure. So I had been studying soccer a long time, though. I had been watching it for a long time. So they asked me to come over. But unfortunately, I was working with Vander Holyfield, so I couldn't come over. So when I got a break from him, I sent one of my guys over. I took him over. I got about a week break from him. So I took one of my guys over there. I trained him, and I took him over there. But unfortunately, when I got over there, they was checking our bags and stuff, and they was like, where y'all going and why, and yada, yada, yada. So one of the guys said he's going to work. I said, well, I'm going to check on something, you know, one of my friends over here. So they turned him around, and he had to go all the way back. So I had to go over there. He was waiting on me. They had the camera crew out. They was waiting on me to come out because they wanted to interview me about coming over and training. He played for Arsenal. I gave a guy named Johan Giroux, played for Arsenal. So they let me through. You know, I went to Giroux home and I stayed about 4 or 5 days, but I couldn't get my guy back over there. He was suspended from traveling for like a year. So I had to come back and work with Evander because he was trying to get a title fight at the time. So I had to come back working with Evander. But, you know, after Evander retired, they called me back. So I went over there and I began to train soccer players. And then I just noticed how the culture was. Different coaches, you know, it's a bunch of different coaches. And you can be in a restaurant, it might be $8 or $9 going at one time. You know, and then, you know, people not going to bother you. You know, Germany is a really safe place where I was at. It's very, very safe, especially for kids. But when I was over there, it's like, when I found the love from them guys, it was it's amazing. You know, from my Albanian family to Armenian to Iran to Iraq. I mean, those people, when they show you love, it's crazy. it's just different. And, but, you know, being around different cultures in Poland and stuff, being around different cultures, and I began to see, wow, we all the same. All the stories that y'all telling me, it's like I'm sitting in my backyard listening to these same stories. Y'all, I mean, our skin color is different. We, you know, tons of miles away from each other, but we actually the same. We are actually the same. And people wouldn't know that unless they go travel and see how people do things and then listen and then learn and just listen to their culture, just listen to what go on. You'll be shocked because the same story they tell you, somebody that you around over here then told you the same story. It's crazy. And so that's why I start pulling in together. Education, it's all about education. And I know growing up, the way I grew up, you know, it was not about education for us. It was just about getting out of high school, working a job, and getting a job getting a job, good job at a plant and staying and retiring. Don't worry about education. It's not built for y'all blacks. Stay away from that. It's not built for you guys. So we was taught that, but I wanted out. So I worked on education to get out, and I got out.
And so you made a comment and also about, I guess I could say class. In other words, you brought up KKK, so like the rich KKK, which we know who the rich KKK is, as opposed to, you know, the KKK rednecks running around with their shirts cut out and pickup trucks and rebel flag. And I'm wondering if that's the same division as far as it's across the board, so which of course to me now I'm thinking in my head is, as most people know, I am pro black liberation and you know, I another post that I recently commented on was, you know, all of the rappers, and I think they were mostly entertainment in the entertainment industry, and I actually had to ask somebody because I don't watch a lot of TV and I don't follow a lot of entertainment nonsensical things. So I had to ask somebody, you know, is everyone in this photo like some part of the entertainment business? You know what I mean? Or is there, you know, if there were sports people or whatever. But I knew that the few people that I knew, I only knew as entertainers. Although I knew a little bit, I knew that most of them, you know, are actually entrepreneurs now at this point. But, you know, to me, there's a separation. There's a separation between those people that are rich and powerful and black, and a separation between those people that are poor and powerful still and black. So I never really thought of the class division in it, to be honest with you, because a lot of feedback I get from people is, you know, it's rich and poor. I never separated out the rich and poor, if you know what I mean. Like, I never categorized them within their own category.
Right.
So that realizing that really it, you know, what you're pushing for the education for is to realize that division is not only here and that it is everywhere. And then that division is also individualized within that division. So it's just more divide and conquer is what I'm hearing, basically, you know, more division within the division. Right. And now that you've said that, you know, I see that, and I'm actually going to look into that and have a little bit more conversation with my own self about that. And, you know, because that makes me curious, which, you know, now here, I don't know if you realize, but now you've done exactly what you intended to do, at least with this person, because, you know, I mean, I talked about education, you know, I say all the time, I recently just showed up like this. This woman who I am just recently showed up as this woman. I haven't always been here. And so I'm not, you know, I didn't grow up educating myself on Black history. That's only been a recent thing that I've, you know, been doing. So when I see people like you who are in a fight, not the same as mine, but very similar to mine, where you want to educate, you know, you want to let people know and understand in a way that they can. And I'm honored that you're here and speaking on it. And because I feel like education is the way, and I feel like however you can and whatever your calling is to do, that it does need to be some way incorporated around education. So even though I understand that that's what you're doing, I'm just wondering where that thought process came for you. Like, you know, because like you said, anybody can come out with a brand and, you know, it's this and it's cute and stuff like that, but you're not here to be cute. Not that it's not, but I'm saying that, you know, that's not your main focus. And it's also not your main focus, just, you know, the actual brand itself. Your real focus is the education. Is the education of the fight, the mental fight, the emotional fight, the generational fight, if you will. So I know that you have fostered a lot of children over the years, and I'm just wondering, again, that is this where, I guess, where does the education side come for you? I know how you got to here, but what made it about the education and not just about like the statement, if you will?
I guess being to different countries and seeing different cultures, how they do things, and not really knowing the different cultures, but when you sit with someone and they teach you and they talk to you and you say, oh wow, you know, I'm looking at you a totally different way, or they looking at you a totally different way, you know, it brought about for me, it's like, oh wow, I need to learn more, you know, I need to learn more about this person or this culture. I need to respect everybody's culture. I need to respect how everybody grew up, because I grew up totally different from you, but no matter if you was hurting people or doing this and that, that's the way you grew up, you know what I mean? And this is the way I grew up. I had to respect it, but that on the other level, you have to grow up to a point that you have to challenge yourself and say, is this right or is this wrong?
Absolutely.
Right is right and wrong is wrong. I mean, I was working with some guys one day, and two white guys came to me, and I didn't see them at first, but when I saw them, I prejudged them, and that's what we do as a group of people. We prejudge people. And I prejudged them. They had real long beards and this and that. And once I started talking to them and going back and having a verbal conversation, I was sick. I was sick because they were so much like me and so nice. And I just kept saying, where you guys from? You can't be from Georgia. That's not I'm born in. But I just couldn't believe it, because the way they was treating me and how nice they was, and I was so sick within myself because I prejudged, and I was so angry. I was so angry about myself, because everybody that looked like that don't do the things that you're thinking that they don't do, you know. And another thing, I was talking to I met a white guy, a friend of mine, now a good friend of mine, and he's, you know, big guy, he got a long big beard. And me and him was just talking in general, and he just started telling me about his background and his family and stuff, because I want to learn. That's what I kind of talk to everybody every day. And he was just telling me, he said, man, I used to be racist, excuse me, as fuck. I was like, wow. He said, my dad was a real racist guy and this and that. And what turned me around, that I went to New Orleans, and we had to stay for a school project. We had to stay with different families, and I had to stay with a black family, which I didn't want to. But when I stayed with a black family, But when I stayed with a black family and the way they treated me, I just couldn't believe it. I went back home and I told my dad. My dad kept trying to push this race card, and I was like, I'm not having it. Mm-hmm. You lied. You lied to me. And him and his dad, you stayed on outs until his dad got killed in the car wreck. And I asked him one day, where your dad is at? He said, he's good at, he's perfect at where he's at right now. I was like, where he at? He said, dad. I was like, oh my God. You know, it was just so bad. It was so bad for me to you say that about your dad. But on the flip side, your dad grew up and he was taught that way. And he was never changed that way. So you really can't be mad at him, but you kind of got to understand where he comes from. You know? And it's bad and it's sad. It's bad and it's sad. But at the same time, people keep having their kids and keep teaching them and keep teaching. Yeah, that's going to keep going on. It's going to keep going on, but it's going to be that one little kid that, you know how they say the apple fall, don't fall too far from the tree, but it always that one kid that the apple tree be on top of the hill and it fall way away from the family and won't come back to the family. You know, like, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all doing the wrong thing over there. I don't want no part of that.
You know I'm over here raising my hand, right? Like, I'm that apple. I'm that apple, you know. I tell the story a lot, but that's how I was raised. And I've had the conversation with a few guests about the generational part. Like, nobody told me in my family I had to hate black folks.
Right, right.
But that's who that they portrayed.
Right.
So, of course, you know, they telling black jokes. They,
right.
You know, using the N-word. And you don't have to actually say to someone, hate that person.
Right.
But you can push them far enough away from who you are to make them so different that you fear them enough, you know, to then hate them. Because, you know, I don't know about the word hate. I do know that people use it a lot and I use it a lot. But I also know that, you know, the spectrum is love and fear. And I get that. So,
oh, yeah.
But to be fearful, you know, of somebody.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of time when you're fearful, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I want to hear about the fear, yes.
A lot of time when you fear somebody, you fearing them because you know what they're capable of doing. And so you want to push them down, you want to hold them down, you want to do everything you can to not let that spark shine. When that spark shine, it's over. You know, because
they're
going to move, they're going to keep moving. And a lot of times people don't have time to be hating on whites or hating on Jews or hating on this or hating on this. Because if you think about it, all of our ancestors, a lot of our ancestors had a lot of problems. The whites had problems. You know, the black had problems. But the Puerto Ricans, the Jews had a horrible thing happen to them. You know? And they're still working on it today. But we all had a thing. But over here, they make it their white and black thing. You know, they want to push that white and black thing. And we're not educated enough to say, okay, I see the game. I see the plot. But we're not educated. Right. And it's not nobody's fault but ours. Because if you go certain people, even if you go in the white neighborhoods, you know, what's so funny, when I was in Germany, the young cats, they like to sag. I'm like, that's nothing but American thing. You know, y'all sag and y'all do the same thing that the Americans do. You know, and y'all got that from that rappers and stuff like that. You know, so y'all doing the same thing that they're doing. Y'all follow the same pattern. And the powers that be, the powers that be understand this. They understand what to do. You know, so I salute it, you know, because they not gonna get me, because first of all, I'm gonna educate myself. I'm gonna keep educating myself. I'm not pushing for superiority for the white. I'm not pushing for it for the blacks. I'm just pushing for education. That's all I'm concerned about. You know, because it's like when people, I ask people a lot, who is your family? And well, my family, you know, is blood, my family. No, for me, my family is anybody that's gonna protect me and show me love. And a lot of my own blood family don't show me that protection, don't show me that love, and want to beat me out of stuff and want to do this and that stuff. That's not really family to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want somebody that I can love and they can love me back. That's family to me. You know, but I think a lot of people think by being blood, you got to be loyal, but them jokers will kill you faster than anything.
Okay. Okay, quick, fast, and in a hurry. You ain't got to tell me that twice. I'm going to tell you that right now. You already know. and it's interesting that you say that. I'm the same way. And me and my daughter have ride or die tattoos, you know, tattooed on us for a reason, you know. And I'm the same way. It's about loyalty. And I have a, I don't want to say diverse group of people because they're not necessarily diverse, but at the same time they are. They're diverse within their own diversity, but they are loyal to me as I am to them, and that's and I'm with you. You know, I get, of course, the most flack from my family. You know, sure. What you doing? What you saying? You can't say right. that. You can't do that. And, you know, I ain't got no business fighting for Black folks, but you know, I right. get the same from Black folks. Right. Got no business right. fighting. Just telling Black folks nothing. That's how I get, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, because a lot of people just scared, man. They're scared and they fear for what's unseen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that people are a certain way, but if we was all on the same level, we all had the same education, then who gonna win? Only the strong right. gonna survive. Only the strong gonna survive. God, you don't, I mean, in the wilderness, you never see God stepping in the way of none of them animals that's getting ready to kill another animal. And I, look, he's weak. Get him out the way. Keep him moving.
Right.
That's just how it is.
Right.
And that's how we are. We prejudge. We until we learn, really. We prejudge. We single people out, you know, for certain reason, you know, and we push them away. I don't want to deal with this person because they walk a little bit to the right, or they walk a little bit to the left. And which don't really right. make sense, but that's how we do. And we do that as a race. You know, the horses do it, the elephants do it, the hyenas do it, the tigers, the lions. We all do it. You know, if you look at it, if you look at them group, we all do it. You know, I was telling somebody about the difference between the tiger and the lion. The lion take care of his family. The tiger don't care nothing about his family. You know, and that's just the way he's grew up. That's the way his genetics are. You know,
right?
So
sounds like that's the way we are sometimes. Though at the end of the day,
yeah.
like we're tired of lying. You know,
yeah,
around
we are
here saying what.
Right, and like a lot of times you got males. You know, you go to the males. Whether you're Black, you're white, or whatever, we had this tendency to be more like a tiger. We want to have the babies, but we don't want to have. We don't want to do nothing for the babies. But the mm-hmm. lion's going to have the baby, and they're going to protect me. They're going to do all of this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and that's when you come. That's there you go again, education. I mean, even like
right.
you have these guys like, I like Big Mike and all them guys. Killer Mike, I'm sorry. All them guys, and, what's his name? Farrakhan. All them guys are talking, but they're talking about a lot of separation. We ain't going to never have no separation. This, it ain't even ready to happen. What you're going to have to do is get educated. Like, Killer Mike, he don't sit down and just sit down and don't never do nothing. He educated himself on his topic. He well-educated. He well-groomed. Same thing with Farrakhan. Same thing with a whole bunch of other guys. They well-groomed. I just want the guys that listen to them and the women that's listening, educate yourself. You don't have to be on that particular
right.
topic. You don't have to be on that particular topic. But educate yourself that you're going to be able to uplift yourself and uplift your family for a certain area. That's all. Just educate. Listen to them
right.
guys. Do what you got to do because they're great speakers. They know what they're talking about. But they didn't just sit around. They educated themselves. That's the background. Education is the background of anything
right.
that you do. You know, you got to do repetition. So I'm big
wow.
about it. You know, I'm big about education.
And you should be. It's important. My last guest, my last podcast that just came out, the last episode, he's an educator. And, you know, that's his focus, too, is education. And, you know, I think that education comes in so many different ways. Like you said, you know, it took you going to other countries and sitting down and,
right.
and someone educating you. Not you don't have to pick
right.
up a book. You know.
There you go. Yeah.
You sat down and had a conversation.
Right.
And I think if people did that, you know, I'm about to tell on some people. I ain't gonna say no names, but I mean, he ain't never gonna listen to the podcast anyway, so I'm not too concerned. But somebody else might. But anyway, one of my uncles, I'm sitting in the hospital. I got two of my children with me. My father's in open heart surgery. And he proceeds to tell me that all people are good. And that racism is just a few small occurrences that just happened. And now, mind you, I'm sitting in a room with two of my children, who the oldest at being 25 years old, and I'm thinking, I got 25 years of of some racism, you know, I can tell you about. And he's very argumentative, of course, at this point. He's already offended because I'm calling his ass out. He's a liar. That's not true, right. You know.
Right.
And so I know he's not ever going to pick up a book. I know he's not ever going to, you know, come to any type of self-education on his own. He's not going to look nothing up on Google. He's not going to get a book. He's not going to go to the library. He's not going to do anything. So instead of me jumping off on him, because it was close, real close coaching,
right.
I needed somebody coaching because I was ready to box that day, I'm telling you.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I just looked at him and I said, there go your niece and your nephew right there whose daddy is black and who have lived 20 plus years in this world. I said, have a conversation with them. There they go, right there. And he's not the first uncle that I've said that to. Because when you can't, and I tell them the same thing, which is, you know, I guess I don't want to say I'm tired of saying it, because I'm just going to keep, I will keep talking and keep repeating. I will be repetitious as long until, you know, whoever wants to listen decides that they're going to listen. But I told them, don't come and tell me about what racism is not to you. Have a conversation with your own blood about what racism really looks like. Because you cannot talk to me about your white neighborhood, your white employment, your white business, your white children, and their white education and then gonna tell me about some black folks. You know, like, just like black folks tell me, you ain't gonna be able to tell me about, you know, you can't tell a black person this and that and the other. You're right, and I'm not here to tell anybody anything. What I'm here to do is educate about the system that we have set in place, about the generational fear that we have instilled in each other about each other, and to educate on how now we can get out from under that generational spell. Basically, it's a spell, you know, it's brainwashing that we've done. And there isn't really another way. If you can't live the life, I feel like I lived the life. I was embedded in the black community. I lived very closely, broke bread, went to church, was homeless with, you know what I'm saying? Worked with, and was educated with, though, in a black community, in multiple black communities, not just one. And to me, as far as I'm concerned, it was a gift that I was able to be embedded in another culture and understand how similar we were.
Of course.
Because I think all the time, I grew up with a white mindset. I did not grow up, I know a lot of people that are, you know, I'm categorized, you were saying this too, you look at certain people and you think a certain way, and, you know, I get it all the time. People think, you know, I'm Becky White girl, not, you know, no offense, but that's what they think. And,
of course.
And then they get on the phone with me and they're like, oh, okay, you definitely, you know, that is not who you are, you know. But I know that we do that. I understand that we do that. And cognitive dissonance, whoo, I say it all the time. We haven't really cursed, so I'm not going to, because I know you got a lot of probably younger follow. But it's a MF-er. It's a, it, you know, it's a bitch. And you know, I've had people throw it back in my face, like, well, you talking about cognitive dissonance. I've already changed my mind. What part do you not understand? I've already lost that truth that was embedded generationally in me. And, you know, I feel what you're doing, because I'm sure that you know, and maybe you don't, I shouldn't assume, but, you know, the power of speech, the power of words, the power of intention. You know, and this gets people talking. And I'm sure you know this too. I'm sure you figured out FREE and the acronym and what it is that you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it was so brilliant. It was so I was like, okay, free, because, you know, being freedom and racism and equality and, you know, and I love that about your brand. I love that it is multifaceted. It looks like one thing, but it is so much more than that. And I love that about it. I think it's great. I'm gonna get me a shirt, by the way, as soon as possible. And you know, and did you know that? Did you know what you were doing when you did it? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you understand the depths of what you were doing?
No, it came to me. It just came to me, and I began to talk about it in my head. And I talk a lot in my head, and I begin to talk. And I say, oh wow, okay. Let's put it like this. So I just start saying it like that. You know, I just start breaking it down. I said, like, it has to be broken down because it's too big. So then when I started looking, I was like, free, you know. And then with the free, and then we got the hand symbol of a white, black hand symbol. Mm-hmm. Means the same thing. But, you know, I want to say something in offense to your uncle. You have to pat your uncle on the shoulder because he don't know. And what it is, change, I don't care who you are, change is the hardest thing on the planet. That's why people walk around out of shape. That's why people walk around smoking crack. That's why people walk around doing drugs, because change is something that we don't want. I mean, it's just so hard, and our bodies won't let us do that. It's just naturally, our bodies are homeostasis. It's going to be one way or the other. If you good, it's going to stay good. If you're bad, it's going to stay bad. But within that change, it's hard. Like, for instance, if your uncle began to change, if he older like that, what he going to do next? What will he do after he changed? What can he do? He can do a lot, but what will he do? He will be lost. He has to start a whole new life. You know, it's just like my uncle, people tell me about my uncle, he's an alcoholic. And it's like, he's 60-something years old. What would he do? If he stopped drinking, he would sit around and be a couch potato, because he, all his life, he always drank. He always drank. So that was the big, that was the 90% of his life. So now for him to change, what he gonna do? What would he do? Change is scary, change is hard. And a lot of people will not do it. They'll talk that talk, but they will not walk that walk. You know what I mean? And my thing is, like, I'm all about, I don't care what you say, just show me. You know what I mean? You're going to read this book, I don't care what you're talking about, just show me.
Just do it. Mean?
Yeah, just do it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So my thing, like, Nike got to just do it. I got to get to it. You know, I would love to link up with Nike. My clothing brand with Nike, with all this stuff going on, would just, oh, it'd be nice. But.
Yes. But it might be that it just needs to be you. You know what I mean? I mean, right. You could that's be the God next said. Nike. You yeah, could be the next said. Nike.
Yeah, that's what
you
God
understand?
Said. Yeah, because everything yeah. I do, and, he always tell me, you do it, you do it. Even when I used to train Mike Tyson, you know, the same thing. You do it. You got to do certain things.
Mm-hmm. You know, right, so. Right. And that, I'm going to say, is I mean, it's a difference, a similarity and a difference in between us, because I am that, and I say it all the time when I talk to people. I actually had a heated debate at the dinner table at my Christmas party.
Oh my God.
And you know, one of the brothers at the table was like, oh well, you know, Jay-Z is a blah 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 and da 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 and dee da da, and I said, you know, F Jay-Z. You know, and of course, you know, we have agents from different areas. So, you know, the agents that are here that work with me one-on-one on a daily basis know me, but the other agents don't. So, of course, here's this white lady sitting at the table. And I'm like, F Jay-Z. And, you know, and then he was like, what? Don't you think that's a little harsh? I said harsh, you know, but here's my point. I would have rather that Jay-Z bought, or take that back, instead of buying into, I would have much rather that he actually created his own. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm all for you creating your own. I'm all for you and for free, you know, being on TV and you being the you know, new NFL that another person has created that is beneficial to wiping out what is considered racism. Not that that is ever going to happen, but at least right. to the point where, you know, like you said, I know you're not about separation. I'm not saying total separation. Some days I do think that, but I am saying creating your own. I am saying that there is enough, and that we are plentiful enough, and that we are big enough, and that we are important enough that we can create our own. We're not talking exclusion,
right?
But include in the sense that we can still have our own and include everyone in our own as well too, as opposed to what they are doing, which is creating their own and then excluding who they choose. Right. So
that's what,
say that to say that to you, please feel free to, as much as that sounds great and beautiful and could put you where you need to go, and if it does, I hope that they take you where you need to go, because there's no way that somebody, if not Nike or someone else, won't pick up on what you're doing and find it just as phenomenal as I do and as impressive as I do and run with it. But I would love to see your own brand be that, just it, your own yeah. brand representing its own thing, doing its own thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. And I appreciate that. And that's how it should be, because it should be that way. It's a whole different start, but it's just so, it's one thing about us, is like we don't fight for each other. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I said earlier, we're not going to fight for each other. You know, I don't want nobody major. I had reached out to Mike Tyson because I used to train Tyson. His system was like, yeah, send him this and send him that. You know, let him see this and this and that, because I did everything for Mike. But it is what it is. You know, I didn't get no feedback or nothing. They won't, you know, I didn't call them three times. They don't call me back. But it's okay, because for me, I laugh about it because the first thing I get hit upside the head, and God said, I told you, why are you reaching out to these people? Just do it yourself.
Right.
Just do it. I'm telling you that.
Right. It's important. And I tell all my guests that. If you listen to my podcast, you know I say that. But I mean it. My last podcast guest asked me a question at the end. He said, well, what's the first thing we need to do? Ain't no first thing. Whatever it is that you do, do it, and do it now, and do it expeditiously, and do it immensely, and do it passionately. Whatever big words you can throw in there, whatever adjective you need to do in it, but do it now is the point.
Right.
Do it right now in this moment, because we have lost time at the end of the day. Once the civil right was over and the laws were changed, we have lost so much from that, instead of gaining, that we are really literally behind, and we need to catch up. And there is so much, and you know, that we could have a whole nother podcast on the lack mentality and just that mindset that keeps you from, you know, thinking that there's just not enough to go around when there is, because everybody's purpose is different and everybody's creation is going to be different. And there are billions, hundreds of billions of people. There is no end to what is available or what you can do or what is out there to do. And it all needs to be done. If there's something in you that is telling you that this needs to be done, whatever God that you listen to, whatever inner person that you listen to, whatever inner universe that you listen to, outward thing, whatever you do, whatever you're being told needs to be done, then that needs to be done. And it needs to be done now. It needs to be big. I mean, as big as you can make it, because it is so important right now for this generation to start changing the way we think, and for us to instill in the next generation a better thought process and a better mindset, so that they can then educate this next birthing that we have of another generation right now.
Right.
You know, because it takes generations to undo what we've done.
Yeah, definitely. And we got to undo it, because you're so right. It's with the way they do things. You know, I used to train a guy named 2 Chainz, and he was rapping one day. Me and him was rapping in the gym one day, and he was like, and we was talking about Tupac and Biggie. And he was like, "You got to dumb it down." I was like, "What?" He said, "You got to dumb your lyrics down." I was like, "What? What you mean dumb? What you mean dumb it down? Ain't nobody gonna listen to stuff like they talk about. Mm-hmm. You got to dumb it down. It's like, wow. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, you mean to tell me that the kids have got this dumb?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's right, you know, and then we think, you know, and the thing about the, I can't really say the white race because I'm not white. I ain't really lived in the white neighborhood. But I can say that for the black race, it's like we buy our identity. You know, we want to buy Nikes to make us look like we somebody.
Right.
You know, instead of us, you know, pushing to be a doctor, lawyer, a pilot.
Right.
We think we have to be a rapper. We think we have to be in the NFL or the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't think we are pharmacists. None of that. We don't.
Right.
We don't think we can do none. That's not even in our goal because we don't see it that way.
Right.
You know, and it's us, you know, it's up to the new generation mm-hmm. to come by and say, hey, man, you can be a doctor or you can be a lawyer. And now, don't get me wrong now, because a lot of people are doctors and lawyers and stuff like that. But in certain communities, in certain neighborhoods, like I tell people, if you look at Trump, Trump don't have no clue. And I'm not against Trump. Trump don't have no clue about how the neighborhood, how mm-hmm. the poor, if he go to poor, if he go live with the poor whites,
mm-mm.
he would be like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. If you go with, live with the poor blacks, you'd be like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. You see, they think we all are the same. We all have the same opportunity. We don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No matter what y'all, we just don't, you know? And then if you breeding, you know, you breeding, you have a baby by this person, and you're not as smart, and this person not as smart. So when the baby come out, it might not be as smart. It might not have a great future ahead of it.
Right.
But you say we all the same. No, we not. We just not.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why education to me is so important.
It is.
You got to feed them babies education.
Exactly.
You know, stuff. You know, for us, we'll go out there and we'll pick it. We'll fuss and argue, but we'll come right back home.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids still have pants down to the ankle. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be playing these video games instead of mm-hmm. put that book in your hand. Put that book
exactly.
in there. Let's read this.
Exactly.
And then, but we'll complain. The white man not doing this. The white man don't have to do nothing. Look at all.
Exactly.
These, I mean, you can be anything. Like I tell my son, you
anything.
Can be anything you want to be now.
Love
because the internet is with everything. But they see now. They start out. They say put it in the book. You wouldn't read it. And they saying put it on the internet. You ain't gonna see it. You know, which is crazy.
Right. I'm with you.
We won't be
books in my kids' hands. I'm with you. I shoved it, and my oldest child refused yeah. to read. Refused. Oh, I used to have to literally fight him tooth and nail. You don't read this book,
oh,
you
yeah.
know. And
yeah.
And now he's 25, and the other day his post was like four books that he had bought from Barnes and Noble, you know, on and
oh, wow.
and transitioning, and you know, and I was like, you know, okay, so it didn't happen when I wanted it to, you know what I'm saying? But now at least
right.
start at the age that he's at, and you know, I don't have any grandbabies yet. I'm patiently waiting, but
right.
you know, I know that when they get here, that I have three
right.
children that I've created, that I have instilled a different mindset in. And I don't mean just a racial
right.
mindset. I'm talking about financial,
right.
racial, emotional, mental.
Right.
You know, we're going to talk about this, and
right.
then we're going to end this because it sounds like me and you can go for 45
okay.
minutes.
Yeah.
You can talk about change and how hard it is. And all I could think of in my head is, no matter, really, if you think about it, no matter what type of change it is, really, it's healing. And
yeah,
I don't know if a lot of people know, and I don't know if it's put out there a lot, but you know, I'm as transparent as I can be. And though I don't like to hold titles, and I don't like to speak a lot of things, because you know, I keep a lot of it under wraps. I know what I know, and I keep it. But I'm going to say this for a reason, because I think it's important right now. I was what people do know is I was in a terribly horrible, absolutely horrific relationship, abusive. And when I got out, I was, which has been recent, the last 4 years, I was diagnosed with PTSD chronic. And I was also diagnosed with Stockholm syndrome. And I say that to say that everything that I went through, there were nights when I just didn't think I was going to wake up the next day. I thought, oh my God, he's going to take my life tonight. I'm going to die. And I would think about my children
wow.
and their future. And so as bad as I had it, and as rough as it was and the things that I went through, when I chose to heal, oh, good Lord, Coach Rob, that was, I say it all the time, it ain't, they don't have shit to do with, it is the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. The hardest thing I've ever been through, the hardest, all that is nothing in comparison to me healing, which is equivalent to change, because if you're going to change, you're going to change for the better, which means you need to heal something inside of you to make that change. And healing is hard, and I'm still doing it, and I'm still going through it. And today being one of the days where, you know, I got up and was like, you know, it is hard to do. And people, because we have an innate fear of everything, here comes healing and change, which, you know, produces actual physical things in your body when you start to change, but then to actually heal something and then to have to release a truth. I mean, healing is just as multifaceted as how you got to the brokenness. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I so much agreement with you when you say that, you know, people don't want to change, and then, you know, what you're going to do when you get there. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm all the way healed. I'm going to be pretty fabulous, but
but see, in your case it's different, because you coming out of a tore up relationship. A lot of women won't come out of that.
Right.
They'll just stay there.
Right.
But when I stay with my uncle's 60 something years old, what he gonna do? Because he done did that all his life.
Right.
You know, like your uncle, since they done taught him a certain way.
Right.
Your uncle could change and move up, but my uncle would never be able to do that, because he'll be sick the rest of his life.
Right.
Because he done, it's physical and made a part of a mental.
Right.
And now he will pick up, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's hard. Changing is hard.
Yep.
And just, I'm glad you said that. And a lot of people, you know, get in that way of physical abuse, and through education, you have to change it. You have to be educated.
Yep.
To yourself.
Yep. Yeah.
That, you know, about it, you go right back to the education. You're trying to change, then you got to say, okay, well, if I do this, okay, this is going to make me do this. Then that's education.
Right, exactly.
It'll go right back to the education. The whole line of everything to me is education.
It is.
Even if you sit, if you want to be lazy, you have to teach yourself how to be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to.
It is. You're right.
You know what I mean? You might not be comfortable with this side.
Right.
You might sit better on this side. You know what I mean? So all of it's education. At the bottom of it all, it's all about education. And I want y'all guys to go check out my store, freeapparelstore.com.
Yes, yeah, say that.
Make sure
say
you that. Check it out. Buy free, freeapparelstore.com. Go check out my store.
Absolutely.
freeapparelstore.com. I got a lot of nice stuff on there. Just check it out. I got a lot of nice hoodies. T-shirts.
Hats.
I got everything.
Hats. Yeah, and I will definitely, you know, put up the link. And you're on IG as well. You're on Instagram as well too, correct?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Yes, ma'am.
Pretty much the acronym FREE covers it, right? I mean, if you type that in, and it's coming up.
My Instagram is f.r.e.691, and the 691 in spiritual numbers is FREE.
Nice. I like that. I was wondering about the 691. I was going to Google it, and I was like, it's probably, you know, I'm thinking area code. I'm so, you know, that just came out of me. So that's
it's
very
free. It's free.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I will definitely.
When you add up the numbers, it represents free. Yeah, it represents free.
I love it.
You're spiritual, you know how to add.
Yes, I love it. And of course, when I post the podcast, when I publish it, I will absolutely put all the links so that you can access, all of your links, so that, you know, people can see what you're doing. And hopefully with this podcast, they'll be able to understand what you're doing a little bit better, that it's not just a brand,
right,
that's multifaceted.
Right.
And, you know, to you, for me personally, let me say to you that what you are doing is incredibly important, and that I believe in you, and I believe in your fight and in your fight. And I am really grateful for your journey that it led you here. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on and sharing time with me. I have been educated today, and I'm going to go look up a few things in reference to what we talked about. And I see things a little bit differently on a couple of levels that I didn't before. So, you know, again, a mission accomplished on your part with me anyway, because I have definitely been educated by this today, and I appreciate it, and I'm grateful. And thank you so much for coming on the show. It is a great honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And to everybody that showed up, I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm going to say, that I love you and that I believe in each one of you. And I'll see you on the next episode of That White Girl. Peace.